There are four words that should guide every single Christian. Really, four words that should guide everybody, but especially every single Christian. And those four words are, "Thy will be done." That's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 10 when He is giving us the example of prayer. He says in that prayer that we pray, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Thy will be done. Are you doing the will of God? If the answer is yes, then you need to keep on doing the will of God. You need to grow in that. You need to excel still more, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1. If you're not doing the will of God, then you need to repent. You need to do the will of God. You need to repent of that sin, make those necessary changes in your life, and start living according to the teaching of Jesus Christ, His teaching in both word and in deed. If you're not doing the will of the Father, know that this day you need to repent. And the church is here to help you and assist you in that. And we'd encourage you to come forward and make that known. So together we stand and as we sing. As we stand and sing. Y'all want more? Oh, okay. We'll do more. It really would be nice if it was that easy, wouldn't it? And I know some of you, being Super Bowl Sunday, that was your dream come true as far as a sermon, right? You're like, "Man, Dave, that was supposed to be tonight's lesson." You're switching them up. Thy will be done. In Matthew chapter 6 and in verse 10, this is what Jesus says within the prayer. And we've probably all prayed that prayer before. And hopefully we've all prayed it on a very personal level. Thy will be done. What Jesus was praying within this prayer was not something that He was preaching, but not practicing. Jesus, from the very beginning, was always seeking to do the will of the Father. In Luke chapter 2, when Jesus was just 12 years old, and His parents had gone to Jerusalem, and then they were making the trek home, and they realized Jesus was not with them. They thought He was in the caravan somewhere. Go back to Jerusalem, and they find Him in the temple, teaching the Word of God. And Jesus, more or less, is saying, "Where did you expect to find Me? I'm in My Father's house." And what was He doing in His Father's house? He was doing the will of the Father. And that's what Jesus Christ did all throughout His ministry. We, as Christians, profess to be followers of Jesus Christ. A Christian is a disciple. A disciple is a follower. And this is both the teaching in word of Jesus Christ and both in practice of Jesus Christ of doing the will of the Father. And there really is a sense in which it should be so simple for us to wake up and evaluate our lives. Wake up in the morning and evaluate our lives. Or perhaps it's at night that we wake up and we evaluate the day and evaluate our lives. But wake up and evaluate ourselves and ask myself, am I doing the will of the Father? As was prayed about this morning. In what we think, in what we say, in what we do. Am I doing the will of the Father? As a citizen of the United States of America, or as a citizen of Church, Texas, am I doing the will of the Father? As a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, am I doing the will of the Father? As a son to parents, am I doing the will of the Father? as a brother to a brother and sister that I have by flesh? Am I doing the will of the Father? As a husband, am I doing the will of the Father? As a worker, am I doing the will of the Father? In every single aspect, we go through and we ask this question and we evaluate ourselves. Am I doing the will of the Father? Thy will be done. Not by everybody else. By you. Thy will be done. By me. Every single one of us has to look at those four simple words and not just say them, but ask myself if I am living them. Because that is the gospel. That is the teaching of Jesus. As He is sharing His Word, as He is sharing the Word and the will of the Father, that's His teaching. Thy will be done. The introductory remarks that I made, a bit humorous. I heard Brother Mark Roberts several years ago talk about how he would make a terrible marriage counselor because if a couple came in and they were having issues, he would turn to the husband and say, "Look, you're living in sin. You need to change. You need to do what the Bible says. You need to repent and do what's right." And then he'd turn to the wife and say, "Look, you're in sin. You need to do what the Bible says. You need to do what the Word of God says. You need to repent and do what's right. Now go. Now be it," right? Would that it were that easy, right? But it's not. Why not? One reason is because we don't ask the question, am I doing the will of the Father? And the other reason that it's not is because we don't know what the will of the Father is. How can I do God's will if I don't know God's will? And do you know how many people would profess to be searchers of God's will? Who would say, "Oh, I ask God, oh, I pray to God for Him to show me the way, for His will. I pray that His will be done, and I want to know what God's purpose is for my life, and I don't want to know what God's will is for my life." And I'm sitting there and I'm praying day after day, and I'm just waiting for God to just open up the heavens, and I'm just waiting for the Lord to just shine the light down upon me, and I'm just waiting for the Lord to just put it in my heart. Well, the Lord will be happy to put it in your heart. You just got to open up the Word of God right here and start reading. That's what you got to do. The will of God is not some great mystery that is not to be known. It is not hidden in some dark, deep cave somewhere. The will of God is abundant upon the face of the earth in regards to mankind's ability to access it and to read it. And to know it so as to do it. And so let us never make the excuse that we can't know what the will of God is. I don't know what to do. I don't know what God would want me to do. You're never going to know if you're not searching it out. In Proverbs chapter 2, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Look at what it says about the wisdom, the Word, the will of God in Proverbs chapter 2. In Proverbs chapter 2 and in verse 1 it says, "My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you," this is Solomon speaking of the wisdom of God, "make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." This right here is the God-breathed Word. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. "All Scripture is inspired of God. It's profitable for our teaching, for our understanding. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice. He preserves the way of His godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice. That is the righteousness and justice of God. And equity in every good course of God. For wisdom will enter your heart, the wisdom of God. Verse 10, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul, the knowledge of God. Discretion, the discretion that comes from the wisdom of God will guard you. Understanding, that is the understanding of God, of the words that come out of His mouth. Understanding will watch over you. Thy will be done in your life. God's will be done in your life if you know what His will is. And this is the source to know His will. If we know what God's will is, then what's preventing us from doing God's will? Or why aren't we doing God's will? Are we not doing God's will? Take the very simple point that we're making here this morning and make a very simple application. If you are a Christian, you are a part of the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and Colossians chapter 1, described as the church. What do you think God's will is for you today? Well, you're here, right? So I would certainly have the expectation that you would understand God's will is for you not to forsake the assembling of the saints, and for you to come and be a part of the body, and for you to worship God together with the body. We all understand that, right? 10:30 in the morning on Sunday. I know what God's will is for me. What's God's will for you at 5 p.m. today? If you had to ask yourself the question, would God's will be that you stay home and watch a football game? Or God's will be that you be gathered together with the saints and partaking of the Lord's Supper, or encouraging brethren who have not been able to partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, hearing another portion of God's Word? Would God rather you be watching a football game or gathered together with saints praying and gathered together with saints worshiping God in song? Is that a hard question to answer? I don't know. I don't think it is. I think between the two, I think it would be obvious to know what God's will would be in that. God wants us to be growing in our grace and knowledge. His grace and knowledge. God wants us to be growing in His grace and knowledge. God wants us, as we grow in that knowledge, to grow in our application of that knowledge. And there are plenty of people who, if posed with that question, you know, which one would be God's will for you this afternoon at 5 p.m.? Who perhaps at first would wrestle with what God's will would be, and maybe they'd feel like they have to offer a special prayer so they can receive some special revelation from God to know what His will is. But if you've been a Christian for very long and you know the Scriptures, like Hebrews chapter 10, that we're not to be forsaking the assembling of the saints, encouraging one another, making every opportunity to do that, then it becomes a lot less difficult to discern what the will of God would be between those two choices, wouldn't it? And while that's an easy illustration or an easy application, because we recognize the gravity of this particular day in the United States of America, understand that the principle that we're talking about is something that we're talking about that goes for every day of our lives and every hour of our lives and every second of every day. When Jesus was saying in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10 to pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, he wasn't saying thy will be done some of the time, or thy will be done on Sundays at 10:30 a.m. only, or thy will be done on even numbered days throughout the month. We understand that this applies all the time. And we understand that Jesus, as he was living it all the time. You go to John chapter 6. Look over with me in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, in verse 38, Jesus says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do the will, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." That's another way of saying, "Thy will be done." That's another way of Jesus saying, "Thy will be done." Now, understand, when Jesus says, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me, understand that that was Jesus' will. His will, his desire was to do what God had sent him there to do, what the Father had sent him there to do. And that's certainly what we have to be praying for and understanding as well. It's not that I would always pray, thy will be done to God, and that my personal will is always in opposition to God, and then I just have to figure out the way in my life that even though my will is always in opposition to God, that somehow I'm just going to come to terms with it and follow God anyway. I mean, if I have to do that, I need to do that. But really, what I should be pursuing is the heart and the spirit that Jesus had, and that is that it is a joy for me to do the will of my Father. When I say, thy will be done, it's not something that is begrudgingly done unto my soul, that it's something that I long for, to see the will of my Father and how I need to accomplish it and what I need to do, and then do it. Right? Then do it. And that the more I study the Word of God and the more I come to know what the will of the Father is, the greater my responsibility in wanting to make the will of the Father my own will, to do His will out of love, to honor Him and respect Him through that obedience. So that, though I may love football, and I use that word love very generically there, you know, have a fondness, have an affection, have a joy that comes from watching a good football game, while that may be my will, the greater will is to do the will of my Father. His will be done. And while perhaps when I was younger, when I was more immature, or didn't have as good of an understanding, that choice of what the will of God was might be a little bit more murky, and it might be harder for me to understand, or even if it wasn't hard for me to understand, it was a little bit harder for me to accept. But with the growth in the knowledge of God's will, and with the growth in the relationship to God, then that becomes a lot easier. It's not hard at all to make that choice. It's not hard at all to understand what the will of God is and to desire to do it. Understand, it's not always easy to do God's will. And Jesus, as the teacher of that, is also the perfect example of that. Look with me at another time where Jesus talks about the will of God in Matthew chapter 26. In Matthew chapter 26, Jesus has had the Last Supper and He has gone to the garden to pray. And as He has gone to the garden to pray, He is praying unto the Father. And it says that in verse 42, He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, "My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, Thy will be done." Now, you are good Bible students out there. What's Jesus talking about when he says, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it? Well, we drink from a cup, right? And so if this cup can't pass without me drinking it, well, what cup is Jesus talking about passing without him drinking it? Well, we understand that to be the cup of the suffering that he is about to partake of. And we know that what Jesus is referencing is not just his betrayal and not just his trial, but all the suffering that's going to come upon him as a result of that. And we've been studying that in the Gospel of John on Wednesday nights about the suffering that Jesus Christ would endure and how he endured the scourgings and how he endured the persecutions, how he endured being beaten with fists, the crown of thorns placed upon his head, all the things that he suffered in carrying the cross up to Calvary's hill, of having his hands nailed to the cross, of him being crucified upon the cross of Calvary. That's the suffering that's being talked about here, that's alluded to here, this drink that he is going to have to drink. And Jesus says, in the midst of this, thy will be done. There will be times that we know what the will of God is, but it's difficult to do. But if we're disciples of Jesus Christ, followers of Jesus Christ, guess what? We do it anyway. Yes, it's hard. We do it. Yes, it's difficult. We do it. Yes, it might be inconvenient. We do it. Why? Because we're children of God. Because we're disciples of Jesus Christ, because we know what the will of the Father is, and we want to be pleasing to the Father just as Jesus was pleasing to the Father. That shows up in every aspect of our life. Look at an example with me over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, Ephesians 4 verse 17, it says, this I say therefore, and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding. They don't understand what the will of God is. They don't know what the will of God is. Excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. It's the hardness of their heart that prevents them from knowing what the will of God is. Verse 19, and they, having become callous, have given themselves over to every sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. That's all the things opposed to the will of God. That's worldliness, ungodliness, sin, all those things opposed to the will of God, they give themselves over to it. Verse 20, but you did not learn Christ in this way. That's not how you learn the gospel. You learn the gospel in submission to God. You learn the gospel in knowing the will of God, knowing what it is to know His righteousness and His goodness and His purity and walking in those things. He said, you didn't learn Christ in this way of the world. Verse 21, if indeed you have heard of Him and been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that is, if you really heard the truth of the gospel, that is, then in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self. That's the old self that's not asking the question, what's the will of God? That's the old self that's not saying, thy will be done. That self is supposed to be laid aside. You lay aside the old self, verse 22, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, that you may be renewed in the spirit of your mind, as our brother Horace woke our minds up to this morning at the beginning of our service, right? And put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. That's the will of God being done. The righteousness and the holiness of truth in my life is the will of God being done. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. Those things might be difficult sometimes, but guess what? That's the will of God, that you do it. Verse 28, let him who steals steal no longer, but rather let him labor, performing with his own hands what is good, in order that he may have something to share with him who has need. I hope nobody came from that life. But if that's a life you were accustomed to before you became a Christian, sometimes it can be hard to let go of that and you can go back to it. That's not the will of God, is it? That might be harder for some than it is for others. I'll tell you one that's hard for just about everybody. Look down at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ Jesus, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Is that ever hard? One of the hardest things for Christians to do sometimes is to forgive other people. Do you think it was easy for Jesus to suffer and die upon the cross? If it was, I don't think he would be going to God the Father in prayer saying, "Let this cup pass from me," and have sweat drops of blood coming out of his skin. And so what Matthew chapter 26 teaches us is that when Jesus says, "Thy will be done," and as he provides that teaching to us in word, and he provides that teaching to us in deed, and shows us that example, that we understand "Thy will be done" is not just something like, "Lord, if I get $1 million, well, Thy will be done. Lord, if somebody gives me a free boat, well, okay, Thy will be done. Lord, you want to bless me with that promotion? Well, okay, Thy will be done." It as much, if not more, applies to the hard things than it does to the easy things. And that's why we as Christians must be mindful of this teaching of Jesus Christ, that within ourselves we need to be molding ourselves around this teaching so that we can be as Jesus is, that righteous Son of God that He is. That we are seeking to do the will of the Father and not our own fleshly desires. That we're seeking to be pleasing to Him in all respects and not be seeking to please ourselves in fleshly or worldly ways. In Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 8 it says, "For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord." That is the Lord's will, right? And in every facet of our life, that should be the echo in our mind every single day. We hear it just again and again and again every day, all throughout our day. The interactions that we have for people, the goals that we've set throughout the day, the things we set to accomplish, "Thy will be done." And everything that we're doing, "Thy will be done." And all of our interactions with other people, as they may be interacting with us, and how we respond, "Thy will be done." That's what's guiding us in everything. But too often the case is, if we ever did know those four words, we've forgotten them. Or at least we've forgotten them every single day and all throughout the day. That we're not living our lives with that at the center, we're at the core. We're not living with that teaching of Jesus Christ in both word and deed as our example all throughout our day and all throughout our lives. And it's why we need to be reminded of this truth and to focus ourselves upon the truth of this teaching of Jesus, that to truly be a disciple of His, we must say, "Thy will be done," and then do it. In my walk, in my work, in my worship, I must say, "Thy will be done," and do it. And if you are somebody who is struggling to know what the will of God is, I don't mean to make light of prayer. Certainly go to God in prayer. But don't go to God in prayer without opening up the Word of God to study the Word of God, to hear the voice of God, to see what God says, and to know what His will is. And if you're opening the Word of God and you're still struggling to know what the will of God is, then go to people like shepherds who are there for that very purpose, to shepherd your soul and to teach you not their will, but to teach you God's will and to direct you in God's will, to help guide your soul and to help guard your soul according to the will of God. There's nothing that holds you back from that other than yourself and other than your own pride or your own fear of embarrassment, something like that. But understand, that is what the will of God is. God's will is for you to know Him. God's will is for you to know what His will is. That's why He's given us this Word. That's why He's given us this body for us to, as we were talking about in class this morning, be able to speak that truth and love to one another and each contribute to this body and each build up this body of Christ, not according to the will of man, but according to the will of God. And so, the real invitation this morning, if you're one of those people who in your life you know that you're not doing the will of God, and you know you need to change, then do that. But if you know you need help, that's what we extend the invitation for. It's so that the church can receive your expression of that need for help and for guidance and for strength and for encouragement. And we're here to help you and assist you according to the will of God. And so if you're here this morning and recognize in your life you're not living your life according to the will of God and you need that invite, you need that invitation, then won't you accept it this morning? Won't you accept the help that the church is offering by the Word of God, so that you can know God's will for your life or know God's will for your life better, so that you can be helped and encouraged in doing God's will and staying faithful to doing God's will. We offer you that invitation this morning. If we can help you with that, please make that known by coming forward as together we stand and as we sing.